Welcome back to the Brilliant Perspectives podcast. I'm your host, Jalen Bowden, here with you for another episode of Learning Powered by the Heart. You know, most of us have heard verses like Ephesians 2:10, which says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Or this one in 1 Timothy 6, which says, "Fight the good fight of faith." But how many of us actually know what our fight is in the kingdom? And when we do find it, how do we know how to fight it? Today's teaching is another highlight from last year's virtual conference called Brilliance 23. And if you find yourself enjoying what you're hearing here, check out the link in the episode description to save your seat for Brilliance 24. It's a 3-day event coming up on March 22nd through the 24th. And since it's streaming live online, you can attend it from anywhere in the world. You don't want to miss it. Now, let's jump in with some brilliant thoughts about how to find your fight of faith.
We want to take a moment and help you find your kingdom space. We want to help you find that thing you were called to when the Lord said you were created for good works, which God has prepared beforehand. When he said that, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that beautiful place. When you're in that space, you're like, oh my, I was born to do this. And you know, it's sad that many believers never get that feeling. They never get that assignment. They don't get clear on their assignment. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to find your assignment and how to fight your fight of faith. Which, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fight the good fight of faith. So we're going to get into that a little this morning, and we want to help you partner with the Lord. So as we go through today, remember that downstairs, it's where the world is. And Scripture says in Proverbs, wisdom cries aloud in the streets. That means wisdom's everywhere. We can find wisdom from anyone, anywhere. They don't have to be believers. They can be whatever. Wisdom is in the streets. And so wisdom is wisdom, and we love wisdom. But God's wisdom, God's way of thinking upstairs is a whole different. The mind of Christ is a beautiful, beautiful way of thinking. Because here's the secret. God's thoughts unlock our thoughts. God's passions unlock our passions. We say, well, I want to discover my passions. Well, that's what the world says. And what they mean by that is the downstairs passions. But God has already placed those passions and desires in your heart. Scripture says he will give you the desires of your heart. The downstairs way of understanding that is he gives you what you want. That's not what it's saying. The upstairs understanding of that is he has already wired you and put the passion in you so that you can partner with him in his passion. It's shocking for most of us, maybe, to believe or to understand that God has a passion for your life. He has a passion for your work. He has a passion for your kids, a passion for your family. He has passions about everything. And so, you know, when we're teaching leaders how to lead as kingdom leaders, we talk a lot about God's passion for your work. God has passion for your industry, for your business. He has passion for every aspect of your life. He's that kind. He's that good. Well, so to help us process all of this today, what we're going to do is this. I am going to break this talk up into three different groups, or three phases, if you like. And maybe you are in one of these phases. We recognize it brilliant. You know, we spend a lot of time with a lot of people. We operate in a lot of countries. We run a lot of live events. And what we found is people spend time with us and they say, oh my goodness, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And I didn't realize how kind God is, how good God is. And now you're talking about direct learning. That sounds so beautiful, God, just learning directly from the Lord. I don't have to do secondhand learning. I can do direct learning. And I don't want to just learn about God. I want to know what he's actually like. Right? It's the same instruction to parents, by the way, right? Teach your children to know the Lord, not know about the Lord. So we don't say, oh yes, all the attributes of God. That's all downstairs stuff and it's fine. It has a place. but it's not the life-giving, transformative part and way to live. So I love study. I myself have been a student a long time. But here's what I've found is that people get stuck in three different spaces. So maybe you can identify or self-identify this morning as we go through this. So ready to get started? Okay, I see everybody's there. I see the chats are going. That's really great. So as we go through this, let's pick the first one. So the first thing we're going to get into is phase one. The way you start to live upstairs, step one, is to learn to live in rest. Everything in the kingdom starts in rest. Everything. Let's see what Jesus said about that. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I started quoting a little earlier. So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden." Anybody feeling, we would call stressed in modern language. Anybody under a little bit of stress at the moment? Yeah? Anybody identify with that? A little bit of heavy laden? I will give you what? Rest. You don't work for rest. You can only receive rest. Rest is a gift. You can't work for a gift. It's not a salary. It can't be earned, but it can be received. Okay, I will give you rest. Now, here's fascinating. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So, are you familiar with the idea of a yoke? So, the idea of a yoke comes from when you take two oxen and you're plowing a field and you put this board, you tie them together, you link them together with this wooden yoke, and the two oxen pull together. Now, a good farmer would know that if you put a powerful ox next to a weak ox, what will happen? The powerful ox will push, and that yoke, that wooden board, would crush the little one. And so what happens is you have to equalize them, and it's called being equally yoked. So what happens is you have to have, a lot of times people say, "I want to marry someone who's a Christian." That's fine, but are they equally yoked? You say, "Well, they're a Christian." No, no. Do they have the same pulling power as you? Have they the same drive? Do they have the same passion, the same call, the same willingness to go all in with God, the same willingness to bear the pain, go through the thing, learn with God? That's what yoke is, the ability to pull, the ability to drive forward. So then Jesus says, now don't do that self-drive thing. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he immediately gives us some confidence. Don't worry, for I am gentle. I'm not going to push that yoke so hard and crush you. I'm not going to demand so much from you can't keep up. I'm going to back it off and I'm going to match you. When you push at level 2, I'll push at level 2. When you push at level 6, I'll push at level 6. I will go with you because I'm gentle and I'm lowly of heart, meaning you have nothing to prove. It's not like, well, you're not pleasing me and I'm going to push and if you get crushed, well, that's it. That's not his way. I'm sure you're glad to hear that. Now it says, and you, again, second time. And why? Because you will find rest for your soul. By the way, the word soul there in the Greek is psuche, which literally means where we get our English word psyche or psychology. What we mean by the word soul is that sense of I, your whole internal world. All of you, mind, will, emotions, every aspect of you will find rest. Beautiful. For then Jesus says, and by the way, P.S., my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, let's talk about why it's easy and light. One, he assigned it. Two, you were made to do it. Three, he's pulling with you. Four, the Holy Spirit is your coach, guide, and teacher. And five, the Father has gone before you and prepared every good work for you to walk in. So that for some of you, though, this is your starting place, right? You haven't found this as a lifestyle. Maybe it's been transactional for you. When you live downstairs, one of the signs that you're living downstairs is when you come under pressure, then you want to go and find some rest. When you come under pressure, I want to get some peace. Actually, that's not how that works. Upstairs, the Prince of Peace lives in you. So praying for peace doesn't make any sense upstairs because it's not a transaction, it's a person. Now the scripture tells us how to do that. It says, let the peace of Christ do what? Reign. Let's break that out. What's your job? Come on, put in the chat for me. What's your job to do in that process? Stress, try to be restful, try to act restful, try to be peaceful, try to be better. Does it say any of that? No, what's your job? Yes, thank you. Let, thank you. Well, Zoom Room 2 is on this, man. You guys are on this, that's great. Let. Okay, so your job is to let. And then let what? Whose peace? Your peace? Your family's peace? His peace. Do what? Reign. Oh, we just learned something. Peace is a ruling power in your life. Peace is meant to be a permanent. A king doesn't come to a throne and then just leave, right? That doesn't make any sense. A king doesn't come into and say, okay, I'm coming to reign, and then I'm out, then I'm in, then I'm out. A king comes to reign and take the territory. Jesus came into your life to take his territory, to partner with you. You are born again by the Spirit of God. And when you are born again, you are made a new creation. And that new creation has the capacity upstairs to make peace permanent. Okay. Time to be a little transparent. Some of you commented when Bridget and I shared our story yesterday, and you said, wow, thanks for being transparent. It's great to see leaders being transparent. Well, sometimes when we're on leaders and we're up here and we're doing our thing, you can look at us and think, you know, heaven's parted. We came down the clouds with a little harp, and then life was just lovely. You know, well, of course, none of that's true. And in fact, if you're going to become anyone in the kingdom, you are going to face trials, tribulation. In fact, Jesus promised it. You will have trouble in this world. Oh, by the way, be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. What? Be of good cheer in the middle of trouble? Absolutely. There's this idea that rest is the starting place because rest puts Jesus in his rightful place on the throne. So if, and the vulnerable part of this is, as a pastor, a leader, I've lived life of both a pastor and a business person my whole adult life. And so I've preached this, I've taught this, wrote a book about this, and I studied the scriptures. Guess what I was doing? I was doing a lot of downstairs learning about this. So I know the scriptures, I know the Greek, the Hebrew, and how they line up, and it's all very cool. But what you know I didn't have? I still had a transactional thing going on. And then I started talking to Graham, and when we went through that thing we discussed and told you we went through in 2018, when we lost our business and we lost most of our friends, and you know, when everybody walked out, true friends walked in, as Graham said. So when we were in that place, Graham gave me a simple challenge to me and Bridget. You cannot practice peace when everything's peaceful. So if you're in circumstances that are tough right now, if you're in a situation, your situation right now is an amazing opportunity to let the peace of Christ be the ruling power in your heart. What does that feel like? Well, practically, best illustration is, and Graham gave that to me when he was first walking us through this, he said, hey, it's like an elevator, right? You know, you're on the 20th floor and you want to go down, so you press the button and the elevator rises to meet you, right? Pieces like that. In your inner being, the kingdom of God is within you. So it's not some transaction from the outside. I'm not trying to get God from the outside to give me peace. The Prince of Peace is in me. So a lot of times we're trying to get stuff from God we already have because we have Jesus. We have the fullness of Jesus. But there is some practicing. There is some learning, the direct learning of calling up your peace until you, okay, now it's raining. I'm there. I got it. And so when you call it up, and I called it up, and it was wonderful, and then it lasted 39 seconds, and then it was gone. So I had to call it up again, and again, and again. It's like, how do you get this elevator to stay here? And I pressed the button so many times, I wore the button out. I think all the little paint and markings were like worn off. You know, I just go ding, 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 and pressing that button. So I'm calling the elevator, and then one day, I notice, hey, it's been a whole day. And then 3 days, and so on. And it extended out till one day I noticed, hey, it's been 6 months since I practiced my peace, and I've been in peace. And so for someone who's been walking with the Lord for 46 years, yeah, I know I'm old. If for someone who's been walking for 46 years to discover, and I had an amazing spiritual mentor, I grew up under incredible revelation. I have zero excuse for not knowing this. Absolutely none. What I'm illustrating to you today, instead of being bound downstairs to your circumstances, let's give that up. Here's the cool thing. This is rest for the weary. Jesus is saying that he's offering us a restful and fulfilling way to live life compared to the burdensome, tiresome ways of the world. Downstairs can only offer you downstairs techniques. Well, you should practice this, exercise, eat. Those are great. That's wisdom. But that will not give you the rest of Jesus. That will not bring the peace, the Prince of Peace, into your life only those born again by the Spirit of God who live upstairs. So this is a new way of living. And for some of you, this is your first step. So some of you are saying, hey, yeah, I kind of got the rest thing. Hey, I'm ready to move to phase two. You know, the rest thing's not perfect. That's okay. We're all learning. That's fine. But now it's time to discover your assignment. So let's take a second to group two, or phase two is discovering your assignment. You see, you were designed for a partnership with God. What worked for Jesus worked for you. It's designed for you to work for you. Again, I quoted earlier Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for what? That we should walk in them. His plan was and wired you that he wants you to partner with him and walk in them. For many of you, you're not walking or don't feel like you're walking in the good works you were designed to walk in, right? And it's like, hey, Lord, it's time. It's time. I want to do that. How do I do that? How do I step in? I know that you've wired me for this. I know that you want to partner with me, because his burden is light. And the stuff I'm doing doesn't feel light. Okay, we're going to do it Jesus' way. Father, what are you doing? And I love that Jesus said, and then the Father explains everything he's doing to me so I know what to do. You cannot initiate anything upstairs. Why? Because Jesus could not. He said, the Son can do nothing of his own initiative. I do what I see the Father do. I do the same work the Father is doing. And because he loves the Son, he shows him everything that he is doing. So the Father's here right now, wanting those of you who are asking that question to show you everything he is doing. What does that mean? We think sometimes upstairs, heavenly realm, is not practical. It's the most practical and the most eternal and the most real world. Right? We discussed that yesterday. Because when you love someone, they know their love. That's super practical. When you're joyful, that affects your life. You get strength from it. That's super practical. So this idea that somehow the only practical stuff is downstairs is simply not true. It's a delusion. Because what religion wants to teach us is to live downstairs and then work upstairs. What the gospel is, live upstairs and work downstairs. Living downstairs means that then what I'm always trying to do is do stuff for God. And so we pray prayers like this. God, give me this so I can go and do that. And the Lord says, no. Because if I answer that prayer, you'll try to do it without me. And this is a partnership. This isn't you go and do it for me thing. And so we use words like, I just want God to use me. And we know that God doesn't use people, right? He wants to partner with you. And he wants you to walk in all the good works he's prepared beforehand. But he doesn't want to use you no more than you want to use your children to get the lawn mowed. So this use language comes from, and I know what we mean. It comes from a sweet heart of wanting, saying, Lord, I want that partnership with you. But that way we start that process is starting in the heart of the Father. So Father, what are you doing? You're the only initiator and I'm just a responder. Good news. You don't have to be the initiator. You are the responder. To the call on your life, you do not have to sit there and strategize and so forth. And I know some of you who are on this right now with us, and you're thinking about this and you're thinking, man, if I knew that one thing, if I knew the thing that gives me shiny eyes, that makes me come alive, you know what I'm talking about. You do that thing and you have more energy afterwards than before you started. You know, for me, that's what I'm doing right now, teaching and preaching. I love this. I will get off the stage here, and I'm going to be, energy. I can run a marathon. I get so energized. Why? Because grace is flowing through me. But then there's stuff you do in the kingdom, and it's like, it's like, that was my A seat. This is my B seat. It's like, it's neutral. I'm not depleted. I'm not energized. My C seat is, I am good at doing them, but boy, afterwards, I'm depleted. You know, and the reason is, somebody has to show me grace. If you ask me to lead the worship, then grace will be flowing in the wrong way. If somebody shut him down, I can still hear him, you know. And because grace, I would just suck the grace out of everybody, because you're like, put somebody on who can actually do this. That's what I mean about your A space. There is an A space for you that the Lord wants to have a discussion with you and talk to you about it. Okay, so it comes down to when we find His passion, we unlock our passion. When we find His, what He's doing, what He's thinking, we unlock our thinking. It's not that God wants you to enjoy your mind or your thinking less. He wants you to enjoy it more because it gets energized, it gets renewed by His thoughts. So direct learning is how we partner with the Lord in this. It's an ongoing conversation. So God may start the conversation today, but He may not give it to you in one download. It may take an ongoing conversation as you start to put it all together. I found that journaling and writing it down and starting with promises. Sometimes the biggest thing that unlocks you is a promise. Why? Because a promise gives you three things. A promise is an invitation to become someone. We'll deal with more of this in the next session. And a promise is also permission to take a territory. So the last session is this, finding your fight. Some of you are on phase three, you're already in the fight, finding your fight. And some of you say, how do I find my fight? And here's the key to finding your fight. Finding your fight, you know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, hey, fight the good fight of faith. So how do you know what's your fight? Here's the number one problem I have seen believers struggle with. Everything's their fight. They're fighting about the new ideologies in the world and the gender issue and the political issue and the this issue and the that issue. And they've got opinions on all fights. Okay, kingdom key. You do not have to have an opinion on every fight. You just have His opinion on your fight. Hey, I'm glad God's raising up other people in those fights. I'll support them, pray with them, bless them. And when I need to have an opinion to vote or whatever, I'll look into it. But my fight is this one. People come to me all day, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? It's not my fight. It's not my fight. So you need to get singular. If Paul writes to me, he says, make that fight white hot. Make it work. Right? 2 Corinthians 10 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive and bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So here's the thing, guys. There are strongholds right now in the world. There are things that are setting themselves up in high places. There are ideologies that hell is pouring out, one ideology after another, and there are strongholds. But here's the thing, we win the war anyway. We win at the end anyway because Jesus said He's overcome the world, and I believe Him, and that settles it. So here's the thing, is that you do not have to get involved. The biggest weapon that the enemy has launched against the church is to get us absorbed with all the downstairs fights so that we don't focus on our upstairs fight. So we take on the one thing God's called us. If God's called you and you care about human trafficking or homelessness or single parents or whatever your fight is, then go all in on that and let all the other fights go and don't spend all your time consuming yourself with conspiracies and this fight and that fight and this one. Listen, if it's in your game, if it's your space, then go and do your research. The Lord will teach you. He'll train you. So here's what I want to say to you. The key is fighting your fight is to bring the domain of the king. Kingdom means the domain of the king. And you can't bring the king's domain if you don't know the king and if you're not in partnership. But you are yoked with the king. You're in oneness with him. And so it's a simple matter of, Father, what do you feel about that? What do you think about that situation? How are we going to resolve that? What's the strategy for this? Not how do you want me to do it for you? How do we do this together? So, Father, what are we doing about this? Jesus, I know, Holy Spirit, you're a genius. You've got 10 ideas of how to do this. So we have to, here's another way you know it's not your fight. Some people say it's my fight. Here's how you know it's not your fight. If your narrative is negative. If you're just replicating the negative narrative of the enemy, then all you're doing is propagating that ideology. If you're just picking up stuff you found on social media and saying, have you heard about this? Have you heard this? Here's how you know it is your fight, is because you've crafted a new, positive, hopeful narrative focusing on redemption. That's why I keep saying America's best days are ahead of her. Why? Because He's a redeemer. I know this. I have an upstairs hope. Presidents will come and go. Politics will change, ideologies will change, and God is raising up people, and you are not called to reach the world. You're called to reach your world, just your world, with your fight. So, if you find yourself, I tell you, when I first learned this, guys, it just broke my heart because I realized I was just echoing all the negative narratives of the enemy. I was helping the wrong team. I was just helping him spread the word of all this negative stuff. And I knew that if it was my fight, Jesus and I would have a different narrative. So what would happen in your life if you dropped every negative narrative and you don't have to follow up on all the conspiracies and keep up with all the bad stuff? That's not your job. It's not your fight. Your fight is to bring the kingdom to the area the Father wants to partner with. I hope that's the most freeing thing you've heard.